We are now joined by our second place finisher, Joey Logano. Joey, can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking some time with us. And we are going to get right into questions for you. And let's kick things off with Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Joey, can you talk about why you chose the inside on that last restart? And did you think you had enough momentum to keep Truex at bay?
I chose the bottom because I've chose the bottom every time I've been the leader, and it's worked every single time. It was I was batting 1,000 on the bottom the last, I don't know, 2 years here. And was kind of actually surprised that Truex was still out there. I felt like I created enough distance down there on the bottom shortcut in the dog leg that typically I can have someone at my quarter to where I can control them. And I looked down in the corner, I'm like, gosh, he's still door to door with me. So their car really accelerated really well, surprisingly well. I didn't see that one coming. So they just had a fast car, you know, all the way through. They had a fast car from the get go. So once they tuned in at the end of the second stage, that 19 car was lights out. So I don't need to be honest with you, Bob. I'm not sure if, even if we got in front of them in that last restart, I'm not sure I've been able to hold them off or not. It would have been a hell of a battle, but he probably would have got me eventually.
And how would you just evaluate the PJ1? Was it different than?
I really can't hear the ball. What was that? I couldn't hear. Danny, I think you're not muted.
Sorry.
You get me.
Can you evaluate the traction compound today? Did it come in and did it work like you thought it would?
The traction compound was really strong in the beginning, and it seemed like especially down in 3 and 4 towards the end of the race was less and less. It was just wearing off. So kind of what you would expect there. I thought towards the end of the race, you know, you run a few laps on the bottom, you know, 4 or 5 laps maybe on restarts before you moved up. So that was, I felt like it was pretty racy at the end.
All right. And we are also joined here by Denny Hamlin. So if you have a question for Denny as well, feel free to raise your hand. And if you're called on, just make sure you tell which driver you're speaking to. So let's take the next one from Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead, Jordan.
Hi, I have a question for both Denny and Joey. Joey, I'll start with you. Last pit stop or second to last pit stop, you said you had a power steering issue. Wonder if you can kind of elaborate on that and if it had any more bearing on the outcome or anything.
Beats me. we did have a power steering issue and it fixed itself. So never had that before. So I don't know. I guess my prayers were answered, I guess, inside the race car. I don't know. It came right back. So maybe just something with lower RPM and hot temperatures or something. I'm not sure to answer that.
Thanks. And Danny, where do you equate your performance this year for the first early part of the season compared to last year when you and Kevin Harvick were kind of dominating and winning a lot of races and leading a lot of laps every week?
Our consistency is really good. I mean, really every week last year, we had a chance to win most weeks. It's just whether we took ourselves out of it through mistakes or not. And so far this year, knock on wood, we have been good on the mistake front. So, you know, we haven't had that dominant car like we've had during some races last year yet, other than Daytona. I thought our car was very, very good. But, you know, we've just been hanging around that second, third, fourth all year. So it's a good start because, you know, we got something to build on here.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next question from Michael Knight. Go ahead, Michael. Michael, can you hear us? I think you're on mute.
How about now?
Yep, you're good.
There you go.
Paul does that. Question for both Joey and Denny. Joey, when you won this race last year, I asked you about if you thought that the drivers and the people in the garage area were taking a sigh of relief in terms of how competitive the track would be for the championship race. And you kind of had a memorable quote about you thought everybody was taking a sigh of relief. After today, what are your expectations or concerns about the competitiveness of the track? PJ1, this tire, the package in general, for November?
You know, I'd say, you know, I think you'll probably expect the same thing you saw last year. You know, the tire has a decent amount of fall off, which presents an opportunity for some strategy. As we saw today, if the caution comes out 5 to 10 laps into a run, it creates quite the question on what to do. So that's a good thing, to where it's not just a no-brainer type of you know, pit call. So I like how that kind of splits the field up. So that part's good. I think, you know, fastest car is able to win the race, you know, and I think that's happened probably the last 3 or 4 times here. The fastest car has won, and I think that's fair. That's what we all want. But it is the opportunity to make something happen. If you're in the hunt towards the end, and you have a good pit stop or you have a good restart, like you can do some big moves as well. So I think the track's pretty racy. I think it definitely evolves throughout the race as the traction compound wears off. That definitely changes what you need in your race car as you tune your car. And the tire itself, like I said, it has some fall off. I still get these weird vibrating runs. I don't know what that is. That one cost us a championship, and I got another one today. So I feel like we definitely need to look in that to the tire for sure.
Denny, what do you think about that?
I don't know. I'm more of a probably a purist on these short tracks. You know, it's the dominant lane. I don't know that, you know, originally when PJ1 came out, it was meant to be an option. When you come up on lap traffic or when you come up on a car and you're faster, it's an option to try to get around. It's the dominant lane here at this racetrack. Again, you run in and out of it at times. But still, you know, as long as if it doesn't wear off, it's the fastest way around the racetrack. And I don't know, you know, the first time here they had it higher and we used the bottom mostly and just used the top every now and then. And they sprayed it just a little bit lower for the championship race, I believe. And it just, I don't know. I mean, we've seen you take some still pictures of, you know, pretty much all the races and everyone's just kind of running in a train up top. So I don't know. But I also agree with Joey as well that, like, you know, the fastest car has won for last handful of races. So, you know, but if you put Martin in traffic, I don't know. He might have got around. I'm not sure, but I guess I'm indifferent on it. Is a long answer, but I prefer it be probably a little bit higher and less grippy.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take our next question from Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
Thank you, Joey. I hate to beat a dead horse, but to follow up on the vibration, you told the team that it was as bad as it was in the fall. You also said, I believe, earlier in the week on radio that it was vibrating so bad at times in the fall that you couldn't see. What do you guys have to do to get this car in order, or, you know, try to figure this out so when you do come back, if you're part of the championship four, it's not something that keeps you up at night?
Yeah, it's definitely keeping me up right now. I wish I knew what it is. You know, a lot of times, you know, you change the tires and it goes away. So, you know, it's not a loose wheel. We don't believe it's a misbalanced tire or wheel either. Not sure what it is, but when it happens, it's the lights shut off for a little bit and the car goes backwards quickly. So it cost us a championship, and it didn't cost us the race today, but we lost some track position, you know, in the beginning of the final stage here. So I don't know. I wish I knew what the answer was on that, but I don't know. Maybe we can take a look at it and cut the tire apart. I don't know how you fix it. I'm not a tire engineer, but I don't know if it's consistent through the field and if other cars had the issues or not. I know a lot of cars had it in the fall race. I know my teammate had it in fall race as well. So just something we need to look into, at least try to find the answer. I don't know if we have the capabilities to fix it. I think it might be out of our hands, but at least try to help find it.
Appreciate your time. Safe travels.
All right, we'll take our next question from Jeff Gluck. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, for both of you, I'm curious, you know, they got to the mile and a half tracks and it was like there was these underdogs and surprises running up front and different names. Then you get to the first short track, and it's like, well, it was just all the usual suspects for the most part all day. No underdogs. Any reason for the difference, you think?
I mean, I'll let Denny speak to it too, but I think, you know, the 750 package is harder to drive. And think experience probably comes out more. There's different techniques that I think the experienced guys have learned over the years, racing cars that don't have much downforce, a lot of horsepower. When you come to a short track, there's comers and goers, and knowing, you know, how to go fast in the short run versus the long run. And, you know, Denny's probably one of the best at figuring that balance out. And I think, you know, probably that experience, you know, behind the wheel helps, and kind of knowing what you need in your race car to go fast as well and give them that right information. So probably experience comes into play more, just because it's something that we've done a lot, the last, you know, forever.
Denny, can you?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we ran, you know, most of the experienced guys, the guys that have been around for 4+ years ran this whole package in 2017. So if you've got less experience than that, you know, this is kind of a new thing for you, other than, you know, we cut the spoilers off on the short track last year. So I agree with Joey, it's just you kind of build a notebook on it. You know, you understand how to, you know, manipulate the car when it's not handling perfectly. You can move your line around and change some things. That's stuff that takes experience. It's, you know, I think that, experience in this sport is just so underrated, simply because you so see so many things. You know, we've all been through tire changes, car changes, aerodynamic changes, track changes that, you know, we're ahead of the game, I guess you could say, and especially now that we have no practice. I mean, it lends itself even more to experience. So I definitely agree with that take.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take our next question from Mark Garrow. Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you. I've got one for Joey and one for Denny. First off, Denny, your thoughts on, or do you have any thoughts on, it was late in the race, Bubba stayed out, and you guys had a little bit of a chance to race together, and your thoughts on your car with Bubba up there running up near the front?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was only 10 laps on this time. I probably would agree with that call, and I don't know where he netted out on that, but I knew taking off was going to be the biggest challenge. I thought once he got through the first couple corners, he was going to be fine. But, you know, I think that, you know, he's one of those drivers. And I think if you can put him up front somehow, some way, and it's probably likely going to happen more on like a 750 track, you know, he'll be a hard guy to pass. And you know, I was racing with him there, but I was just trying to figure out how I could get around him just as quick as I could, because I know I was in a very important part of the race. But I don't know where they finished, but I think they had a solid day. They had some decent speed, my team said. So it was good. I mean, again, we were pouring the concrete of the foundation for that thing, that team over there. We got a long way to go, but we're working really hard to get them in a position by fall where they're competing inside the top 10 on a regular basis.
And Joey, your thoughts on, you know, as a veteran driver, you've been through this before, to have a car that led all the laps and it just kind of slips away at the end. Just your thoughts about that happening again today, and just how frustrating is that?
You know, it's frustrating in some ways, and in other ways, you got to look at the positives and move forward. And, you know, I'm usually the one that's going to probably beat myself up a little bit on the parts where we missed it, but the positives will momentum going. So we need to just move on after we figure out where we made mistakes today. So as far as positives, boy, I couldn't be more prouder of our pit crew today. they're animals. You know, so that's great. They really kept us in the race when we started to lose a little bit of handling in our car. You know, and I'm not even sure if we were a few balance adjustments off the beat in the 19. He was fast. And it really, like I said earlier, it started to show, you know, the end of the second stage, where he ran us down from 4 seconds. You know, and it's okay. He's going to be really quick. I was just hoping on the short run that maybe I can get him on the short run there. But once he got out a second ahead of me, he went to cruise control and started saving his stuff. So, you know, I like I said, we're just not fast enough right now. That's probably the biggest thing that stands out. We were able to get our balance pretty close after the second run of the race. Just, you know, it seemed like the 19 and even the 11 at times, just were able to roll in more speed and have more grip and still be able to turn. So just had more overall. So got to go working for that. That's a hard thing to find, by the way.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next question from Dustin Long. Go ahead, Dustin.
Thank you. I'll just make this for Denny. Certainly, this place has been a track position type of track in years past. I'm just curious if you see that evolving with the PJ1. Obviously, we saw Chase go from the back to the front win last year. The 9 and the 5 both had to go from the back a couple times. I just didn't know if the track is evolving or just a case of those cars were just so strong.
It's tough to say. I mean, I think that if you get the lead and you've got the next fastest car behind you, the next fastest car has to wait 20 laps, 25 laps for the pace really to lose a half a second because, you know, again, the dominant line is running around the top in the PJ1. So it's very difficult. So when we were running around the bottom here, you could force the guy off the bottom. You could pack air and really kind of force the leader off the bottom and you could get position. Next thing you know, you're in the bottom in 3 and 4. That's where you want to be. You complete the pass. Here, you have to run in their wake because most of the time you're just worried about losing a position if someone's right behind you. You don't even want to make a move to run low and make a move on the leader because you're likely to lose a spot. The leader, the fast car can get to the front, but he needs long runs to do it.
You seem to be, though, at times able to use the bottom pretty well and cut down there, maybe more so than others, especially the first part of the race. That looked to be about as strong as any car out there. So that's why I was kind of curious about what you were seeing on that track, or that's something you feel like you guys kind of hit on, but maybe kind of went away as the race went on.
Yeah, maybe went away a little bit, but not bad. Again, it's the tire is kind of weird. You know, you just don't want to run a whole lot in the rubber that gets laid down. But the bottom lane, I mean, yeah, you can run fast for a couple laps, but it just heats up everything so much that you can't sustain it. You can use it to try to complete a pass. You know, that's the thing. Most of these passes were all slide jobs. It was all just overdriving the entry just to, you know, get position and clear yourself. So, you know, not a lot of passes were made because you just got a good run off the corner, went down low in the next corner at a reasonable speed, and you cleared them. You had to drive in there at an unreasonable speed and cut off the person in behind you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take our next question from Jesse Morrison. Go ahead.
Hey, Denny, this one's for you. Just can you speak on your teammate getting a victory after, you know, a long streak of losses and then, you know, just not winning for a while, ever here at Phoenix?
Yeah, I mean, the 19's had a good car. Their short track program, you know, I think that they stand out to me as one of our best short track teams at JGR. I mean, it was encouraging for me that we did run in the top five all day. The 19 ran the top five all day. You know, because we were not good on the short tracks last year. In 2019, I think our worst finish in the 11 on a short track was fourth, or maybe fifth. We had all tie fives at every short track. And then last year, we just, I mean, if we could run sixth or seventh, it was probably a decent day for us. So hopefully this is a sign that we kind of worked on the right things and we're heading in the right direction. But it's good for him. For winning. I wish it was me.
All right, we're going to take our next question from John Haverling. Go ahead, John.
Thank you. For Denny, I was just kind of curious how your career has been different this year compared to previous now that you're a team owner.
Ask your question again.
I was just kind of curious how this year has been different for you in your career than previous years now that you're a co-owner of a team.
Just no days off. I mean, typically, you know, when I was just a driver, it was I would get, you know, between Tuesday afternoon and Thursday night to Friday morning off. I mean, relatively off, you know, maybe a few things here and there. But But now those are the, you know, the middle part of the week is really where I focus on 2311 and you know, go to the shop and talk to the team and the engineers and the crew chiefs and figure out, you know, how we can be better. What do we need to go faster? Where we feel like, you know, this is such a growing process for everyone. Everyone's working together for the first time. This is a new team. This is not a inherited team. This is a team built from scratch. So, you know, it's a building process, and they're trying not to overload Bubba with too much information because he's got already so much he has to learn on a weekly basis. And I try to do everything I can to help, you know, curb that learning curve. You know, if I can help him out and give him some advice on a track that's coming up, some notes out of the book that, you know, I keep, and then hopefully maybe it's a help to him.
Danny.
Yeah.
All right. And we've got time for one more question. We are going to go to Chris Knight. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, for Joey or Joey and Danny, you guys can talk about how different this race would have been today without the traction compound.
Well, that's a probably $1 million question trying to know that. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the last time we ran without the traction compound, we had big spoilers on the car, and it was really bad. I think the thing we fixed the most was taking the spoiler off the car and creating a smaller wake and being able to, you know, manipulate other people's cars by, you know, stacking air on them or whatever. And that created a lot of passing. So I think the biggest adjustment, the best adjustment, has definitely been, you know, taking the spoilers off the car for the short tracks and adding horsepower. What would it be like if you had the if you didn't have the traction compound? I don't know. It's either your dominant lane is going to be on the bottom or your dominant lane is going to be up in the PJ1. To pick your poison. I don't know. I mean, you got to eventually look at it and say, was the racing good today? Yes. Did the fastest car win? Yes. That must mean that there must be some passing out there. Yes, you got to be patient because if you make a move and you're not able to clear him, you're probably going to lose a spot. But that's part of the game. So I'd be hard to say that we shouldn't have it. I'm kind of a fan of it personally, thinking that it actually – I think it helps the racing and widens the group out. And, you know, towards late in the race, it's pretty good.
Any?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we started using it for a reason. The tracks weren't getting the passing that they wanted. I think absolute need for it at some tracks. You know, I'm 50-50 on it here, but, you know, it absolutely has helped racing at some racetracks that we've gone to. So, I don't know. Hard for me to make a case for it or against it, to be honest with you. So we'll just keep digging and keep learning, and you know, we'll try to put on the best race we possibly can, no matter what the conditions.
Thank you both.
All right.
Thank you,
Joey and Denny. Thank you guys so much for taking some time with us. Congratulations on the second and third finishes, and we'll see you in Atlanta.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you. All right, into the media. I apologize if we couldn't get to your question. I apologize if we couldn't get to your question, but we will be joined here momentarily by Coy Gibbs and our winner, Martin Truex Jr. Hang tight. If you do have a question for either of the two, feel free to raise your hand now and try to get to as many questions as we can. All right. Hey, Coy, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us. We're going to get right into questions for you, and we will kick things off with Alan Cavana. Go ahead, Alan. Oh, wait. Alan may have put his hand down, so let me go to Jordan Bianchi. Yeah,
apologies.
No worries.
Alan, you want to go ahead?
Coy, congratulations on the win. I was actually waiting to ask a question to Martin, so I will wait my turn.
Thanks, Alan. That makes me feel really good.
Congrats, though.
Appreciate it.
Hey, Coy, two questions for you. First, what's the relationship been like with 2311 Racing so far, and is it any different than previous relationships that JGR has had with Alliance teams?
I think overall it hasn't been any different. We want to give them the best equipment we possibly can. It's obviously probably a little closer to us because it is Denny. He's been with us forever. We want to see him succeed as a driver and a car owner. So I can't say we put more effort into it because I think we put a ton of effort into every one of them. So it just probably means a little bit more to us, you know, just seeing how close he is.
Sure. And the second question is about your son. We haven't talked to you since his Daytona win, and then he had a second place finish in the Xfinity Series race on Saturday. Your thoughts on his performance so far and what you've seen?
Yeah, he totally screwed the weekend up. If he would have won yesterday, then we would have won them all. So I blame him for that. No, he's doing good. He's I don't know. You know, growing up watching him grow as a driver, probably since he's like 12, you think he's pretty good, but you don't really know. And then you start throwing him in these divisions, and he's performing. So it's exciting to watch. It's exciting as a father. I think it helps going through it. Watching my brother go through it, screw it all up. Watching myself go through it, screw it all up. I feel like I can at least guide his path a little bit, and hopefully, you know, he can be successful at it.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next question from Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
Thank you, and congratulations, Coy. Good to see you for a change.
Good to talk to you.
Where do you, you know, back to the tie question, where do you get that balance between dad and knowing that the kid's got so much potential, and how do you harness it and bring him up the right way as far as his progression? Because you don't want to put so much pressure on him. Like you said, he screws it up. But, I mean, you've had so much experience, you know, watching your dad and, you know, watching other drivers. Where are you going to find that balance?
I'd say my work was done between the age of 12 and 14, probably 12 and 15. I was really hard on him, as hard as you possibly could be. My approach is you're going to have to face the pressure sooner or later. So I might as well play it as hard as I possibly can. And then at 14, by 14 and a half, I completely backed off and, you know, left him on his own so he could kind of go through it, you know, from 14 and a half on up on his own, because I think that's important too. I don't want to sit there and handhold the kid and he doesn't need it. So it is, you know, I had no idea my plan going in. That's the plan I chose, and, you know, hopefully it works out.
Appreciate your time and safe travels.
Thanks.
All right, we'll take our next question from Jenna Fryer. Go ahead, Jenna.
Hey, Coy. I also have questions about Ty because it's the first time we've had a chance to talk to you since his two Xfinity races. You said you were really hard on him. In what way?
Probably just, you know, I think if you want to compete in any sport or any athletics, you've got to be disciplined. And I think instilling discipline – a lot of times it's hard for the kids. You know, I coach Pee Wee football to this day. My kids are too old to play for me, but it's the same thing. You know, you kind of got to go through a process. You got to get hardened. And that's what I wanted. I wanted him to have that. I wanted him to have his voice too, and understand that I don't have to just listen to a crew chief or listen to someone about the car. If you don't like it, you need a voice opinion and change it. And I see so many kids growing up that don't do that and then kind of fall in a rut of just listening to whoever their crew chief is or whoever's tuning the car. And I think that's a huge mistake.
And also this week, he had two different Zooms and it both talking about you. He made a point to say that you're completely different from the rest of the family. What does that mean?
I don't know if that, I don't see how that's good. I hope it's not good. The rest of my family's not good.
He said you were a real hard worker. So I don't know if he was saying the other guys are slackers or what.
No, I don't know. I'd say we're a unique family. We got kids all over the place. We got Ty racing, my daughter jumping horses, the other two playing every stick and ball sport in the world. My wife works a full-time job, and I travel a lot and work. So I don't know. I think you just grow up watching your dad work his guts out, and that's what you just start doing. So I think we're pretty close-knit, but we're very, very rarely in the same room together.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next question from Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Coy, have you sensed any frustration at Adam Martin not having won as much as he did with Cole in the last year with James?
No, I haven't really sensed any frustration. I know, you know, last year we had a lot of ones we should have won, honestly. You know, I think there obviously is going to be an adjustment period. I think he knew that. I think James knew that. And, you know, it's fun to see him start clicking. I mean, let me say this. The beginning of the race, I was like, oh, my goodness, they're going to be terrible. And then the last 100, they made the right adjustments, and they were just a rocket ship. So hopefully, you know, we move forward and win a ton of races.
And then looking at another one of your drivers, do you have any concerns with Kyle Busch and that kind of – do you feel like he's going to go through some – growing pains with Ben?
I think anytime you make changes, there's going to be some growing pains. But they had worked together before in the past, so I think that's going to limit a lot of them. I think today it was just a pit stop, the loose wheel got him trapped a lap down, and they never got it back. So we never got to see what he had, honestly. You know, he was getting better as the race went on. So, you know, obviously it's a frustrating day for us and a frustrating day for him. We want all our guys in the top four for sure.
All right, we'll take our next question from David Smith. Go ahead, David.
Hey, Coy. Just given today's result, it would appear that JGR did some considerable work with its 750 program over the offseason. And this year in general, it's a split horsepower series preparing to go to a new car. So how is JGR as a whole consolidating different focuses for a lame duck race car?
Yeah, it's difficult. We focus a lot of time on whatever package we're bringing to the track, regardless. And at the same time, you're kind of looking ahead the next car and preparing for that. So it's a lot of work right now. I think the next 2 years are going to be more work than the last 10 years, you know, put together. So I'm proud of my guys. I think they did a great job. I think we make changes fast, and, you know, they're working night and day to put good cars on the track.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take our next question from Zach Sterniolo. Go ahead, Zach. Zach, can you hear us? Looks like we may have lost him. We'll take one final question here from Jeff Magliocchetti. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Coy, congratulations on the win. I was hoping you could please talk about the development you've seen out of Christopher Bell, who not only earned the win at the Daytona Road Course, but has finished in the top 10 in consecutive races. So how pleased have you been with his evolution from LFR to the number 20 this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's been great. He, you know, winning that race was phenomenal. I mean, it's fun to watch him grow. And getting them in-house and, you know, having them with us every weekend is that I think it's going to help them. I'm praying it helps us long-term. He's extremely talented, and, you know, it's where we expect him to be, but I'm darn glad he's there. You know, and we want to see him progress the rest of the year just like he has.
Awesome. Thanks, Coy. Congratulations. Enjoy the win.
Thanks.
All right, Coy. Well, thank you so much for taking some time to join us, and congratulations on a great weekend for all of the team.
Thank you.
So we are now joined by our race winner. Let me get Martin spotlighted here. Hey, Martin, hear me okay?
Loud and clear. How's it going?
Awesome. Good. How are you? A little bit
wonderful.
Better. Thank you. Yeah. Well, thank you for taking some time. We're going to get right into questions for you. And we are going to kick things off here with Michael Knight. Go ahead, Michael. I think you're muted again there. Okay, we'll come back to Michael then. Bob Pockris, go ahead.
Yeah, Martin, after you had the long pit stop, fixed the car, I think they told you we fixed it. How long did it take you to really know that it was fixed?
Well, that run right after that, it still wasn't great. And then it was the next pit stop, more adjustments on the car that it felt like, okay, now we've got something. But I really didn't know it was that good until I got up. We got really deep into that long run, and I think I got up to about fifth, and I could see the next couple guys in front of me. And I'm like, dang, we came from like 17th or 18th on that restart. So that's when I knew it was pretty good.
And does this give you a sort of boost if you're in the final four when you come back in November?
Huge boost, huge confidence. I'll be honest with you, if we would have come here last year in the final four, last year we struggled here for some reason. It's never been our greatest track, I'll say that. It's always been just okay, and I've never come here with a really warm, fuzzy feeling that, you know, we're going to go there, you know, and be really, really strong lead laps. So that was definitely a nice surprise today. And really just hats off to all the guys for the hard work and you know, everybody that builds the cars and, you know, puts in all the effort back at JGR and Toyota. So we took a huge swing at the car for the race. We knew, you know, what we've been doing here in the past few races wasn't good, and the car didn't do anything I needed to do. So we just went to work on it, and James and the guys did an awesome job with that. So really happy about it. And really happy you didn't ask me a retirement question today as well.
Thank you.
I take
our gotcha.
Jenna.
Should I ask a retirement question?
No.
All right. Hey, there was up on the pit stand after you won the race, really big hearty celebration. I'm wondering, you know, if I'm reading too much into it, did this team need this after last year? Did you guys need a big win like this?
I wouldn't say we needed it. I'd say we really were hungry for it. We really wanted it, obviously. And just, you know, we've worked really hard and we've got a great team, and it seemed like for whatever reason, it was always little things that were biting us, you know, and we were always so close, and we were always like second or third. And, you know, I don't know how many times we've been second, third, whatever, top five since we won last year at Martinsville, but it's been a bunch. And it just is like, man, you know, what do we got to do, you know, to turn it around so it's our day? And I think that's probably what you've seen, is just a little bit of relief and just excitement because of, you know, how hard the guys have really worked and, you know, to put together all the details and make it happen. So we got a great bunch, and I've said that, and James is doing a great job. And, you know, hopefully we can use this momentum and just continue to do what we need to do.
And five different winners. You're obviously one. You're the first one that's going to be a repeat returner to the playoffs from last year. Is it time for guys to start getting worried?
No, it's way too early for that. We got a long way to go.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
All right, we'll take our next question from Mark Garrow. Go ahead.
Martin, just trying to follow up a little bit about Jenna's question. It's such a big gap between wins. Were you surprised it was 29 races? I mean, you guys as a team had kind of been cleaning them off. And I know James was changed as the crew chief, but the car was running well and you had your opportunities. So were you surprised that it was 29 races between wins?
No, I mean, that's not a lot, really. I've been a whole lot longer than that in my career. So I don't look at those numbers. I don't really pay attention to it. You know, we've been running strong. I felt like,
felt like towards the end of last year, playoffs came around. We really performed well and did a lot of good things. Had a lot of tough breaks. So we didn't have a lot to show for it, you know. And, you know, that's just fuel. That's fuel for the fire in the off season to work harder and make sure we can, you know, do what we need to do. So, yeah, 29 is nothing. I never even thought about it, to be honest. I know we've been capable of winning a lot of races between the last one and the one today. And, you know, these races are really hard to win. That's really all I can say about it. So thankful for today, and we'll celebrate and enjoy this one and get tomorrow for next weekend. But you never know when your last one's going to be, and you got to enjoy them all. And I certainly am really proud of this one.
28 career wins. Do you set goals like when you got me, you wanted to get to 30? I mean, you're kind of up the board now, tied for 28th on the all-time list, Carl Edwards and Rex White. But do you set goals like that? Do you chase the next spot on the all-time or 30, or do you put any thought into that at all?
No, I don't. I don't chase numbers or anything. I do this because I love it. I do it to be part of a team and have that camaraderie and to challenge myself, you know. So, you know, there's days when I feel like I can win a couple more championships. There's days when I say to myself, you know, I've done a lot and I'm really lucky to have done what I have done, you know, to win championships and in this series and in the Xfinity series and, you know, win a bunch of races. It's been really fun. And, you know, when I moved to North Carolina as a 24-year-old, I never would have thought I would be able to accomplish all the things I have. So from that standpoint, I'm really excited. But, you know, the more success you have, the more you want it, I feel like. And we're ready to have some more. That's for sure. We got a ways to go.
Thank you.
All right. And we are also joined here by our race winning crew chief, James Small. So if you have a question for James as well, feel free to raise your hand. We'll keep things going and take Alan Cavana. Go ahead, Alan.
Hey, Martin, I was curious about the final restart that helped get you the victory. The deeper numbers show you're one of the best restarters in the sport or in the series. And I was wondering, you know, was that something you did? Was that something Joey didn't do? What helped you on that final restart? Because it obviously helped a lot.
You know, just got a good jump and was able to stay side by side with him getting to turn one. That's really the key. You know, and then he drove into one and kind of slid up and slid us both up the hill. And once that happened, I was able to grab the PJ1 and get turned and get a good run off. So if he would have, you know, drove in, maybe wrapped the bottom better, he might have cleared me. But, you know, like I said, he drove in deep. I drove in deeper and we both slid up the track. And that's kind of usually the way it goes. So luckily I drove in deeper than he did.
How volatile can it be? You know, we saw like Brad right on the start driving and almost damn near hit the pit wall. I mean, can that be an advantage or can that be, you know, a danger at some point if you don't do it correctly? What is that like?
Well, if you really make a bad mistake, you're going to end up crashed. So that's never good. But this place is pretty wild on the restarts. You know, that the restart prior to the last one, I guess it would be, I restarted third behind Joey and I got a really good start and was right on his bumper turning down from the start-finish line down across the paper and actually got into him and turned him sideways, lift, and I lost like four spots because I thought I was going to crash him. So that's how close it is every restart, really. You're bumping, you're banging, especially to try to get the guy in front of you going forward. It's really easy to get in trouble on restarts, especially when you start getting three and four wide.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, let's take our next question from Chris Knight. Go ahead, Chris.
Sorry, I had to find that mute button. Martin, congratulations on the win today. I was just curious how much this race would have been different without the traction compound applied today. Like, if we didn't
How would the race be different?
If we didn't have traction compound at all.
I mean, it's hard to say, honestly, you know. I mean, if you have no traction compound, every race is around the bottom. If you have traction compound, everybody tries to use it best their advantage. I mean, I think the way you look at it, you have a, you know, a preferred groove. You know, it just so happens that now with P1, it's up the racetrack, and without it, it's at the bottom. I thought the PJ1 today, for whatever reason, maybe wasn't as sticky as last time we were here. I don't know if it's because the Xfinity cars maybe wore it off some yesterday and they didn't reapply it. Because we've seen guys being able to work the bottom, and I worked quite a lot of guys underneath them when they were in the PJ1 and made the pass. So, you know, to answer your question, it's hard to say without knowing. It seems like every race here is a little bit different. It just would have been everybody fighting for the bottom if there was no PJ1.
Thank you, Martin.
You're welcome.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead, Jordan.
Hi, this question is for James. James, you guys had a good year last year if you look at the numbers, but you only did have one win. So I'm wondering, did you feel more pressure coming into this year to win more? And what does it feel like to get that win this early in the season?
Yeah, definitely. You know, nobody remembers who finished second. Both of, you know, we had really strong races last year and just didn't execute. And, you know, wins is what matters in this sport. So it's definitely. What we do every week, and you know, and try and get more bonus points, because that's ultimately, you know, when we got to the playoffs there, that's where we struggled, was the bonus point count. So hopefully this is a step in the right direction for that.
And Martin, I have a quick question for you. Are you going to be doing any dirt racing in advance of the Truck Series or the Cup Series race at Bristol?
Probably. I'm not sure where yet though, or how, but probably.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
All right, we're going to take our next question from David Smith. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, this question's for both of you. Martin, you mentioned your string of third place finishes and second place finishes last year. Is there anything that you or James recognized as a potential improvement to gain that extra one or two spots? I know the change in spotters was meant to help restarts on 550 tracks, but was there anything small, any detail that you saw that was relevant enough to improve in the off season?
I think it just depends on what track you're talking about, really. And they're all so unique, you know, different packages are different. You know, you got the short track package, you got the high downforce 550, then you got, you know, you got a lot of road courses this year. So, to answer your question, I think we just pick apart every racetrack and every package, you know, figure out how to be the best we can be. And I think, you know, for here today in particular, we knew it was a struggle for us. It wasn't a strong point. And, you know, James and Jazzy and the guys really, you know, worked hard on trying to get the car to do what I needed to do here. So it's, I think just to answer your question, every track is a little different. And for here, there were certain things that I needed the car to do that it wasn't doing. You know, other tracks, it's, you know, it could be the spotter. Other tracks, it could be, you know, the way the cars are built, or some things I can do behind the wheel as well. So we, and James will tell you the same thing. He's really good at looking at all the details and you know, finding things that, you know, that stick out, that say, hey, we need to do better. We need to do that better.
James, any thoughts?
Yeah, he's dead right. So, you know, I just don't think people understand how hard it is, you know, with no practice and to try and be perfect every week. And, you know, it takes a lot of, you know, effort, a lot of refinement, everything we can do just to, you know, be good off the truck. And, you know, sometimes you miss it. Like today, we started bad, you know, some of our assumptions were off. But, you know, we tried a lot of different things this time. You know, we got back from Phoenix last year and we sucked. We finished 10th. We weren't happy with how we ran. Then, you know, Jazzy and I started working straight away, you know, the week after on what we're going to do to get better. And, you know, all off season, we've worked on that. And I really, you know, once we got the car balance right today, you know, I think you really saw it pay dividends for all the work we put in and changes we've made. So hopefully, you know, come, we can be back here in the final four and, you know, we can work it harder again and get it better again.
And thank you both.
All right. We're taking our next question from Zach Sterniolo. Go ahead, Zach.
Martin, congratulations on the win.
Thanks.
You know, a year ago this race, there was only one JGR car in the top 10. Today, you guys have three cars in the top 10. Looking at Phoenix specifically, how do you feel like this bodes for November? Obviously, I know we're in March now and there's a long way to go, but how do you feel like this sets you guys up for the future?
Well, November's a long ways off, but I'll tell you, for me personally, and I think for our team, this helps a lot confidence-wise. You know, I think if we would have came here last year in the Final Four, as I mentioned earlier, we would have been pretty nervous and not very optimistic because, you know, we were, as James said, we sucked last year here. So, you know, it's a big confidence is a big deal, you know, but usually you're confident because you've had past success and you can build on those things that you understand the racetrack and you understand how to make the car do certain things. So I think from that standpoint, this is a big boost for us to knock this one out today. And now, you know if we can get here in the final four, you know, we know what it takes and we have what it takes to be able to get the job done here.
More short-term future. The company has started the season well, obviously two wins with you and Christopher Bell. But it seemed like today was kind of more complete all the way through the organization. So how do you feel like the next maybe month or two looks for JGR as a whole right now?
You know, I think today was important because we knew at the end of last year that we needed to work on our short track program. And, you know, I think there was a lot of effort focused on that in the off season. And, you know, coming here, I don't know that we were real sure exactly how it was all going to look. You know, who's going to be strong? Are we going to be strong? You know, so I think to answer some of those questions is good. And to have a good, strong day is good, something we can build on. So a lot more short tracks coming up this year and a lot of races with this particular package this year, including road courses. So it's an important one. And it's good to start that, you know, have a good day starting the first one off. But you still have to, you know, continue to work and try to find things because everybody else is.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
All right, we'll take our next one from Michael Knight. Go ahead, Michael.
Yes, for Martin. Joey said that he took the inside line because that's what he's always done since there's been a choice and that it's always worked for him. When you got down there into one and saw what your position was relative to him, were you surprised that he wasn't able to get out front there?
To rewind, I was not surprised he chose the bottom because he chose the bottom on every restart and got the lead. If I was a leader, I probably would have chose the bottom as well. So generally on new tires for a lap or two, the bottom's a little bit faster. It happened that I got a really good jump, you know, was rigged dead side by side with him going into one. And, you know, I think he got tight or something because we both ran, he ran way at the racetrack and I was, you know, turning kind of to the right, going up, letting my car go up the hill as well to keep him from running into the left side of me. So I'm guessing he just drove in and got tight and we both ended up, you know, pretty high on the track. And then when that happened, I was able to grab the PJ1 with my right sides and get the thing turned and get in the pretty early. And that's really what made the difference. So I think if he would have wrapped the bottom, he might have been able to clear me, but I'm not sure what happened. If he just got tight or he just overdrove the entry or what.
Okay. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We'll take our next question from Jim Otter. Go ahead, Jim.
Congrats, Martin. I was just curious. You obviously seemed very surprised when you got out of your car with the win. Were you more surprised that you guys ran really well at a track that you've struggled at recently, or that you were able to overcome one of those hiccup issues early in the race that has kind of kept you from victory lane since last season?
I think it was a little bit everything, honestly, just, you know, being kind of surprised how everything worked out today. And, you know, sometimes it's just your day and you feel like, you know, you couldn't do anything wrong. And obviously today we've made a few little mistakes. I hit the fence, obviously, and, you know, we were way too tight at the start of the race. So, you know, to be able to overcome that was good. And then, you know, you start having cautions towards the end and we weren't really good on the short run. And it's like, okay, you know, is this going to keep happening or are we going to not get a long run to where we can get back to the lead? And it all just played out. And it's just one of those times when you feel like, you know, you've been in this position before and you've done everything right and then you didn't win. And, you know, now you're in the same position and you did. So it's just a crazy feeling. You know, you just get really kind of reminiscent and thankful. And, you know, honestly, I was just confused. I wasn't allowed to do a burnout. That really sucked. James is like, no burnout. We need this engine for Darlington. So that really just kind of took the wind out of my sails, you know? And I was so jacked up, so excited, ready to just have some fun out there. And then I'm like, okay, I can't do anything. Now I got to park here. And my guys, I can't see them. And victory lanes, like four people, the whole thing's just weird. So I don't know. It's not as exciting as victory lane should be, I guess, to answer your question. That's part of it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, we'll take our next question from Jeff Gluck. Go ahead, Jeff.
This is for James. James, when everybody went to the mile and a half tracks, it was like a bunch of different names up there and, you know, sort of surprise underdog type people having their day in a way. And then, you know, for this first short track race, it wasn't like that at all. I mean, it was just the usual suspects, I guess. Do you have any theory on why the strong teams were able to do so much better at the short tracks out of the gate than at the mile and a half tracks necessarily?
Not really, to be honest. It's just less random. I don't know. More talent. You know, I think eventually here, like I said before, like I think it'll just return to the average, to the mean. You know, you're going to see the same guys who are going to, you know, be running in the top five every week. Because ultimately, you know, once they get their stuff worked out, like all the off-season changes and everything, it's going to be the best drivers, the best teams. And, you know, I think, you know, not taking anything away from anyone that's won so far, but I feel like that's what will happen, and you'll see, you know, the regular guys back at the front.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next one from Andrew Curling. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, Martin, kind of similar on what you were talking about earlier, how like Victory Lane was literally just a trailer that they pulled in. But you seemed like really excited after the race, especially to see the fans. And I know it was this race a year ago, it was the last kind of normal NASCAR race. Just what was it like hopping out of the car and at least getting to hear the fans cheer?
That was great. It was real great. And, you know, had more infield energy at the grid, pre-race grid here than we've been used to here lately. You know, because the fan zone, and there was a bunch of people in there. So, you know, they're yelling at you walking down pit road before the race. And you see that, you know, you see them wearing T-shirts and hats and have their favorite drivers and things. And that's what NASCAR is. You know, it's, you know, going to the track with your family and, you know, supporting your favorite driver and having a good time. So it was definitely fun. It was definitely a good change to see them. And, you know, to hear the cheers at the race and the excitement about the race was fun as well. So, hopefully, you know, every week we can have more and more people, and I can't wait till the days when everything's crowded again. I hate the traffic after the race, but I'll deal with it for having the fans here.
Good deal. Appreciate it, Martin.
You're welcome.
All right, we'll take our next one from Chris Knight. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Martin. Auto owner sent on an Instagram post that said that you were going to run the truck race at Bristol. So following up on Jordan's question, you're gonna run the truck race?
Damn, they spilled the beans. Okay, yeah, we are. We're gonna run the truck race.
And obviously, we'd probably be with Kyle Busch Motorsports.
Yes, I'll run Kyle's truck. Yeah.
Okay.
Right, he said you. I could drive it for free, so I did it.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Martin.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Davey Sakal. Go ahead, Davey.
Don't know if I could follow that one up, but Martin, it took you 31 tries to get a win here. What had been the problem in the past for you, and what the difference today specifically?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I think there's been times throughout the years where I felt like we were really close, you know. I remember back, like, in 07, I led a bunch of laps here. And, you know, felt like the car to beat. And then towards the end of the race, I think everybody pitted and we stayed out as the leader. And we were the only one that stayed out. And we finished like fifth or sixth on old tires. So, and then, you know, in DEI days, I ran pretty good here at times. I think it was 17 or 18, ran second to Kansas here. We were really strong, led a bunch, faded a little bit late. It just depends really, you know, Davey, just to answer your question, it depends a little bit on the season, the package, that, you know, you name it. I mean, this place has been through so many changes, and, you know, you think 31 races, different cars, different, you know, packages, different rules and different tires and different track configurations. I mean, there's been a lot of changes throughout those years for me, different teams, obviously. So, been different, you know, different things at different times, you know, right now, you know, for us, we just focused really on, you know, this package of rules package with this car in, you know, in the past few times that we've been here, which is really all we can go off of. So a lot has changed over the years to answer your question, but what changed from last year to this year was just focusing on this particular package and what we had to do here to make it better. And, you know, honestly, I probably had cars that felt better than what I had today, you know, but with the track being the way it is, this tire wearing out and the track getting as slick as it is, we're good enough to win. And that's really what it's all about. So, yeah, it's definitely, you know, a moving target in this sport. Everything is, everywhere we go, every week, it's different. You know, James talked about rule changes in the off season. Nobody even knows about them. They're so small, but they make it a big difference, you know? And that's what this sport is. It's always changing. And you're always searching for speed and searching for, you know, how you can be better in the competition.
Thank you. And following up on Chris's question and your bean spilling, when's the last time you raced on dirt? And are you looking forward to it? Are you nervous? Are you scared? What's the
mindset? I'm excited about it. I've only raced twice on dirt. Both of them were at Schrader's. Schrader used to have a charity race out in Missouri. I did that a few times in a modified. So that was really the only times I've raced on dirt growing up on four-wheelers and motorcycles. So it's going to be a learning curve for sure. But I look at it as Bristol's been our worst track for the past couple of years. Why the heck not lay down dirt and see what we can do this way? So I think it's going to be fun and, you know, a new challenge, something different.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. And we'll take our next question from Jesse Morrison. Go ahead.
Hey, Martin, just first off, just, you know, kind of following up, just how does it feel, you know, after so many times, you know, coming close and or not coming close to finally win at Phoenix Raceway?
Oh, it feels great. I mean, it feels like a really, really great accomplishment, you know, to be able to do that today and to be able to overcome the things that we did and just really as a team, not never give up on it and just keep working hard on things. So, you know, nobody lost their cool. I screwed up and hit the wall early on and damaged their right rear. And, you know, nobody was screaming and yelling or losing their mind. It's a good team effort. You know, good pit stops all day. And, you know, really just knowing coming here, the things that we worked on and talked about and you know, the approach that the guys took is something really special to be able to, you know, listen to me complaining about the car and saying, here's the things I needed to do that it doesn't do. How do you, you know, go make them do that. And when they make them do that, it's really cool. So I'm just really thankful for them and happy for them that all their hard work's paying off. And obviously it was a lot of fun to drive that thing today. So just a cool day and, you know, a very important race because of, you know, the championship race. So very special and, you know, it's always nice to check a new track off the list.
And then to follow that up, obviously last year at this time, you all had just run at Phoenix and then were shut down. Just, you know, what do you remember about that time? This can be for both of you all. What do you remember about that time? Just, you know, what you were thinking and then just how great is it, you know, to be back racing in front of, you know, fans and, you know, winning and everything?
Well, I just remember getting ready to go to Atlanta. I literally woke up out of bed, was getting ready to go to the airport to fly out. And they're like, yeah, the race is canceled. You know, so that was just like the strangest thing ever. You know, I never had a race really get canceled, I don't think, in my whole life. So that was definitely a strange feeling. You know, but obviously glad that we were able to get the whole season in and everybody did an amazing job of, you know, coming up with the, you know, being able to do what we did from the team standpoint, you know, NASCAR, everybody involved. I mean, what an awesome job to get that many races in and still finish the season on time. Nobody ever thought it was possible. So that was really good. And then, you know, this year has been really, you know, I feel like everything's gone smoothly and it's been nice to have more fans at these tracks lately. So hopefully we can continue to bring more.
All right. Well, that's all the time we've got for Martin and James. Thank you guys so much for taking some time with us. Congratulations on the win and we will see you in Atlanta.
Thank you.